Where am I driving you? St Kilda.
St Kilda, mate.
Ah, okay. Oh, Jesus.
The most not Melbourne suburb in Melbourne, I think, is St Kilda.
From St Kilda. All right, yeah, we'll be in touch. You're listening to The Debrief here with Dave O'Neill. I'm driving Harley Breen, comedy legend. I do describe everyone as a comedy legend on this podcast.
Well, that's nice.
We've just done a gig at the Notting Hill Hotel.
I suppose if you die, you become a legend.
Yeah.
So I'm not dead yet.
No.
But
you're not old enough to be a veteran either.
No, I'm not a veteran.
No, how long have you been doing comedy?
I'm 17 years this year.
Wow, that's a fair bit.
It is a fair bit.
Yeah.
There probably should be more stories of success.
Well, this woman said to me tonight, "Hey, you've been doing it for a while, haven't you?" I said, "Yeah, almost 30 years." She goes, "Don't think about it." I'm like, "No, it's been okay. It's been all right."
No, 30 years is an accomplishment.
Yeah, look, there's not that many left from when I started. So,
well, look, that gig was particularly older...
Demographic.
Yeah,
Notting Hill Hotel. Monash it is. It used to be a big Monash pub.
Well, it seemed to be tonight. It seemed to be... There seemed to be some uni students in there.
Yeah, but not many.
That didn't fit the demographic of that pub.
Yeah.
If you...
Well, not the comedy night. The comedy night was sort of over 40.
Yeah.
40 years old.
Yeah.
Which is great for me. Because I'm... You know, they're all my demographic.
Well, they very much enjoyed your references.
Well,
to some nightclubs that I had no idea what you were talking about.
Some woman yelled at Amadeus, which is the nightclub around here. Oh, my God, that's like a flashback. Because I grew up not far from here, and we used to go to all those nightclubs. When you couldn't be bothered going to the city, you would just go to the suburban ones that you could get the train from or walk home. We used to be ones we could walk home from.
Yeah, well, that's an important choice.
Oh, it is, when you're young.
Well, you remember when you were young, too, you'd never even factored in the idea of a taxi on your own? That was a group decision.
Yeah.
Because you had to split that bill.
Yeah. We used to get a taxi. We used to go to the city and see a band, and we'd get a taxi as far as it would take us with our money, then we'd get out and walk.
Yeah. I've done that before. Yeah. I've got into a taxi and said, "I've got this amount of money.
Yeah.
That's all I've got. Take me in that direction."
Yeah.
And then I'll walk the rest of it. Because I lived in Fernie Hills in Brisbane when I was a teenager.
I know Fernie Hills.
Yeah.
My brother lived in Fernie Hills.
No.
That's the end of the line.
Yes, Fernie Grove.
Fernie Grove
is the end of the line.
Oh my
Fernie
God.
Hills is the next suburb. So
that's where you were. That would have been very bushy.
It was very bushy. So I moved from the country to an outer suburb of Brisbane, and Brisbane is still a little bit. What's going on? Have you guys figured out that you're a capital city?
Yeah.
Because I can hear a banjo, and we were on the outer suburb of that kind of city. And then Brisbane City is the largest city council in the world, I think is what they hold.
Yeah, it is. So, it's a big employee.
Employer. Yeah, their distance is the largest, and we were the first suburb out of that area.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Fernie Hills is Pine River Shire. It's not Brisbane City.
Now, where does my brother live now? Gaythorne.
Oh, Gaythorne, yeah. Gaythorne. Happy Prickle. Happy Prickle.
And there's also another suburb close to Fernie, which is more. It's built in a quarry. What's that one?
Yeah, Kapira.
Kapira.
Yeah,
that's
so
right.
You can see Kapira Quarry from my parents'
wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe I know this area because
that's so great.
I would get the train out there when I do the Brisbane Comedy Fest or whatever.
Yeah.
I would get the train to go and see him, and then I got on the train.
You got to pack a lunch.
Yeah, it's a long way
out.
I got on the train, and this guy sat next to me, and there was seriously no one on the carriage, and he was a bit sort of special, and he's like, I said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Oh, I'm going to Fernie, there's a pub out there, it's really good."
Davey's Tavern.
Yeah, but it hadn't been built yet. Because he's going on the train, you can have a beer, put a bed on. I'm like, "Oh, yeah." And then we get off, and it was a construction site, and he goes, "That's the pub." I'm like, "Oh my God." My brother goes, "Oh, you've made a friend on the train." I'm like, and then he just walked off into the... I thought, where is that guy going?
Into the distance. Well, the wool shed is just past that.
Oh, really?
On the way to Sanford, you might be able to find a watering hole.
Well, he also, when he was sitting next to me on the train, ticket inspectors got on, and he went like this, oh, fuck. And they knew him. They went, "Oh, hello, Daniel, how are you?" And he's like, yeah, pretty good. And then he had a special pass or something, and I go, what's with that pass? And he goes, I travel the trains a lot, and one day I got very emotional. And so there was obviously some incident.
What a great description.
Yeah, that's what he said.
I had a mental breakdown.
Yeah, I got very emotional, and I went to court, and they ended up giving me this pass.
What? Is that a green light to being a creep on public transport?
And then there was, when we got off the train, I just remember seeing a sign and it had a train to the Gold Coast. You can get a train from Fernie to the Gold Coast.
Yes, you can. So the line goes, so Fernie Grove out north.
Yeah.
And then it becomes the Beenleigh south.
The Beenleigh,
It's the same line if you happen, you know, how trains sometimes will terminate in the city centre. But then occasionally... this is from my memory. I don't take the trains in Brisbane anymore. But then you could get a train that was continuing all the way from Fernie Grove all the way down to the Gold Coast.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Oh man,
what a life that is.
I've done a gig at Beenleigh Tavern. Yeah.
Oh.
I remember the guy got off and he said Gold Coast. He goes, nowhere I'd rather be. He said as he walked off, nowhere I'd rather be. Oh, he was gold, that guy. And he had a mullet,
Of course he did. You didn't need to tell me that.
Yeah, but not ironically. It was like a
no.
And he was anyway. So where in the country did you move from to there?
So I was born in Kingaroy.
Oh wow.
That's the name used on my passport.
Jovial
Bison country.
Mandy Nolan, the comic, was born in there too, apparently.
I did not know that.
Yeah, she's from,
I know Mandy.
She's from Kingaroy.
I did not know that. Mandy, if you listen to this and we've had this conversation at Woodford Stoned, I apologise.
She did the thing where she bagged the town and then was like, when she went back, they all hated her or something? There's some story she told. Anyway.
Well, I was only there for a couple of years. The majority of my upbringing, 11 years of it, was in Bundaberg in Queensland.
Yeah, I've been to Bundaberg.
Yeah. Bundy. Known for its rum, its sugar, and its ginger beer. It is... I didn't experience a lot of the roughness.
Oh, I'm thinking of Rockhampton, maybe.
No, well, very similar cities, to be honest. Towns. I've spent some time in Rocky... Bundy's a similar kind of place. It can be a bit of an unwelcoming place if you're not the right person in that environment.
Where did you start comedy then? In Brisbane or Melbourne?
I started comedy in Brisbane when I was 21.
Oh my God.
At Sit Down Comedy Club.
When it was in the old location?
No, it had just moved actually. Pano. That year it had just moved from Dockside Comedy to the Paddo, but my very first gig was at the Queen's Arms Hotel in New Farm.
Oh, right.
Which they were running. Yeah.
It would have been... The open mic scene, that's quite brutal in Queensland, isn't it? Don't they say it's more brutal than...
Well, that's the problem. I did a year of it there, and the open mic scene was a tiny situation. Like, in fact, my first audience were all open mic comics.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the same for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so I did that gig, and then the very next gig I was on at a gig that only existed for a year of my career. I can't remember the name of it now, but it was a city sort of gig that was run by Sit Down Comedy Club as well.
Right, then I worked at
Dockside Comedy Bar. And so my experience was you do this shitty gig in a pub to 17 comics and a couple of drunk blokes at the bar, and then you do a gig in a comedy club.
Yeah, right.
And it was packed and sold out.
Yeah, it would have been great.
And it was great. And then the third, I think the fourth gig I got $50 for doing the gig.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And I was like, I'm getting paid now.
Yeah, and then what, you moved to Melbourne?
And then I moved to Melbourne, and I sort of took 6 months off after that move, and then I got into it. And then I was like, wow, but I lied when I moved here and said I was an MC. I'd only done... Maybe 13, 14 gigs. And I had done one MC spot. But I just said I was an MC when I moved here. And so I was being booked as that.
That often happens. You do move up to MCing, but yeah.
And then I stuck in that for a very long time. I was hosting. Yeah. Sort of my advice to people is, if you want to get paid as a comic...
Host.
Yeah,
I did that for years.
And if
I
you host well, you'll... Yeah, same. Yeah. I hosted tonight.
You hosted tonight and you're very good.
I
like hosting.
Well... I went away from it for a while and hated it because I wanted the accolade of being the headliner. And then I got to a moment where I was being booked as the headliner. And I went, I think I'd rather host.
Yeah, I like hosting, but you know, people come to you, how long have you been introducing comics for, mate?
Yeah. I think you've done a good job, to be honest, as a host, if they don't think you're a comic.
Yeah, you should have a go at comedy.
Yeah, you should do it.
I'm trying to think of when I first met you. I reckon you worked at Nova, didn't you?
I did work at Nova.
You worked at Nova as a Thunder pilot, or what they call it.
The Casanovas.
The Casanova.
I was a Black Thunder at the Hit Network, and then I got fired from there for doing a prank on a guy that worked in an office. I put stickers all over his computer screen, which I thought was funny.
Hilarious.
Yeah, it was a Triple M stickers all over a Fox FM computer screen, but it was one of the old LCD computer screens. So when you pulled the sticker off, it separated all the layers of the computer. Anyway, broke the computer, got fired. And then Nova hired me while you were still
on Nova.
Breakfast.
Yeah. So it must have been 2001 or 2 or 3 or 4.
Four, yeah.
Then I went on to Vega. I remember seeing you.
No, sorry. You just moved to Vega.
Oh, what a move.
I was five. What you just moved to Vega.
Yeah, so there was also Nath Valvo.
Yes.
Was there.
Yeah, he was just after me.
There was a few people. One of the guys from Big Brother.
Yes, there was a few of the Big Brother people. Guys. I think the guy, luckily, I can't remember his name and I won't try to, but he was the one that held a girl down and another guy teabagged her.
Yes, that's it.
Hung his testicles in her face. And he couldn't understand why he didn't get a big media gig afterwards. Like, because you've violently sexually assaulted a woman on television.
Yeah.
You fucking horrible piece of shit.
Did you work with him?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I said that to him. That's true. And I said, excuse me, mate. I've been doing comedy for however many years at that point, maybe 5 years. And and you went on a fucking show and held a woman down while another guy's testicles were in her face, and you're wondering why you have a gig over me? Get fucked.
And who else? Ed Cavalli started off as one of those guys. Adam Rosenbach.
As a street
Monty Franklin,
team.
Yeah.
Yes.
Danny McGinley.
Tommy Little.
Ah, that's right.
Danny McGinley. You said, there's quite a few of us.
Yes.
Come through that.
Yeah, and of course, you did Breakfast Radio. How long did you do Breakfast Radio for on the Today Network? One or 2 years?
I only did 1 year. I did 1 year, year on the Today FM in Sydney, and then we had an hour of that show syndicated nationally on the Hit Network.
With M. Rusciano.
Yes.
Yeah, who's now doing it with Ed and Grant Denyer.
Ed and Grant Denyer, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard, that work.
It's called M. Grant and Ed. So it's M. Granted.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no. What have they done? Radio loves synergy.
Yeah, they do. They do. We had a big discussion / argument about Husey, Kate and Dave.
Right.
Like, because me and Husey had actually come from Triple M, where we were the Dave and Dave show.
Right.
And the guys just like...
I didn't know that.
No, no. You can't both be Dave. Someone's going to be O'Neill. Can we go O'Neill? And then Kate used to call me Donnie. Donnie, I like it. The guy in chat go, I like it. Donnie, Dave and Kate. And then we used to call Husey anyway, so...
Yeah, right. I think you come from Triple R.
You know what? I was Triple R.
Yeah.
And then we went to Triple M briefly. Yeah, right. For about a year. We did Saturday mornings.
All three of you?
You know, Kate did it for a very short time. She cracked the shits and left because the guy kept saying, we're gonna change Triple M, we're going to change it. No, Katie, you don't understand, it's just changing. All these guys spoke the same. It was Lorex DJs from Wollongong or Newcastle. You know the guys. The guys in charge of doing commercial radio.
Yeah.
As Kyle Sandlin's, the most intelligent thing he's ever said was, in breakfast radio, it's the only job where your boss has failed at what you do successfully. So it's true. They're all failed announcers, and they're in charge of you.
And they're telling you what to say.
Oh, mate. The one we had at Nova, he when Akmal was on, remember Akmal used to do Drive?
Yes.
He was going to do it with Matthew
with
Newton.
With Cal Wilson.
Yeah, but then he did with Cal and Ed. And he would come in and you'd say to Akmal, you just used the word, what was it? Inanimate? Now, mate, I don't know what that word is, and I'm pretty sure a plumber in Croydon would not know what the fuck you're talking about. So don't use those words on radio. And Akmal was like, mate, because it was about a guy that smashed a speed camera with a hammer.
Yeah.
And so the call out was, when have you...
Smashed an inanimate object.
Yeah. Right. And so Akmal goes, I explained it. No, mate. Anyway, I'm going to go to Perth, but this guy was always going to Perth. Anyway, I'm going to go to Perth, but Akmal.
I didn't have that as intensely. Not as intensely as I think a lot of people have experienced. And I have to say, with great credit to them, mostly I was just allowed to say whatever the fuck I wanted.
Yeah.
Which some days wasn't much.
You got to work with, I know, Kate Langbrook was very good with dealing with the management. So this guy would walk in every morning with a cup of coffee at 7:45, just walk through the door and go, "How's it going, guys? How's the show going? How's it going?" And just stand there like that, and Kate would go, "Listen, cunt, we're doing the show. You're the one listening. Fuck off. Let us do the show." And then she got him banned from coming to the studio. He wasn't allowed to.
Good on her.
Cutty, don't use the C word on me. Don't use
the
C word.
One of the worst arguments I had one day was I came in the morning after the Ariana Grande terrorist hit, and they wanted me to talk about that. And I went, why?
Yeah.
And they went, because it's a big world event. I went, oh, there's no doubt there's a big world event, and that's why you have newsreaders to report on big world events.
It's very hard.
I'm a fucking clown.
Yeah, you're a comedian.
And what do you want me to do is to get on there, because obviously you don't want me to do a joke, because no one wants that. So you want me to have an honest and earnest discussion about this terrorist hit that happened?
Fuck off. This same guy, when it was London, we were on air for the London terrorism.
Yeah.
And he went through all the songs and pulled out any reference to shooting, but he left in "Accidentally Hit Me With Your Best Shot." Like, "Hit me with your best shot." And the sight of him running to the radio station to on air to pull it off air.
Oh, mate. Just calm down.
Yeah, people.
I went to, just out of Traralgon, just after Black Saturday, Nellie Thomas had organised...
Nellie Thomas made this podcast.
Had she?
She's great, Nellie.
She's an exceptional human. Yeah. I've done a lot of work with her. She's been a part of a lot of things I've been on. And she organised a morale booster gig. And I think that's there's a big difference between a morale booster gig and a charity. We weren't raising money for anyone. We were simply turning up to do a show for people that had a really fucking shit time.
Where'd you do it? So near Traralgon.
It was near Traralgon. It was a town hall. The people who were coming to the show were people that had been directly affected by the fire.
So they were
being put on buses in whatever communities they were in
and bussed in.
Right? And they got bussed in.
Could be a tough crowd.
They were a tough crowd.
Yeah.
And fair enough, right? But they were just a bit broken and tired.
Course.
And the great Oliver Clarke went on stage, and I think that man's an exceptional human and an exceptional
actor. He does like a character, a cabaret character.
It turns out that cabaret character is him.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's just him. But he went on stage in front of this crowd of about 500 people were in this hall.
Right.
A lot of people. And he was just doing a joke, whatever it was. And he had the turn of phrase in there, we got along like a house on fire. But what he did was, he goes, "Yeah, and we got along like a house on," and then just stops.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm in the wings going, "No, mate, that's a saying, just say it. If you stop,
Like,
they're reflecting on that way more."
Oh, God. I did a gig for Suzuki I think, and the guy goes, "Now, you don't have any Asian jokes, do you?" I'm like, no, I don't have any Asian jokes. Why would I have Asian jokes? He goes, "Because our Japanese guy is coming and he'll be sitting down the front." Right? I said, no, I don't have any Asian... I've got no Asian jokes. Anyway, I'm doing my act. And then I start talking about... Julia Gillard was Prime Minister. And I said... I used to do this joke about her. She was going to talk tough to the Asian leaders. And actually, and I said, you know, she pretend. I'd say, "Kimmy, look at me," about Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
The Kath and Kim joke.
Yeah, of course.
And anyway, so I go, you know, "Julia Gillard's going to talk tough to the..." And I looked down at this... The Japanese representative was looking up at me and smiling at me, and I just stopped midway. "Going to talk tough to that." What's going on?
Well, I got up at that same gig, of course, Black Saturday happened, but then the floods in Brisbane happened at the same time. So in that period of time between their fires and our morale boosting gig was the floods in Brisbane. And being in Queensland, I got up and just did jokes about storms hitting Queensland and floods.
And then
I go, "To be honest with you, their floods could have helped you. We could have just redirected it."
Yeah.
Just open the Murray.
Did they like that?
They did like that.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, those gigs where there's been a big... Oh, they're hard.
Yeah.
They can be really hard.
Well, we did a... There was a roadshow one year. We were going up in Townsville. And we were part... So we went through Townsville... 2 weeks after, I can't remember the cyclone's name, but it flattened Innisfail. I think it had a male name, that cyclone, which they changed only in recent times.
Yeah,
it used to be always female names.
Yeah, Cyclone Raylene.
Yeah, yeah. Now they change. You know, they never name a cyclone the same name again.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they never choose the same name because, well, what if they named Cyclone Tracy again? Well, everyone knows what that is. 1974.
Yeah, or Katrina.
Or yeah. Katrina. Yeah. This was. Let's call it Trevor. Who
Trevor.
Knows? Trevor Flatten in Innisfail, and they some people a community group in Innisfail sent a message through the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Your roadshow trooper in Townsville, would you consider coming to do a morale-boosting gig in Innisfail? We were asked the question, and we all went, yeah, righto.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
No money or anything. Yeah,
I think it was a fair bit of driving and a turnaround. We were doing a daytime gig, and we could get back for the nighttime gig back in Townsville. We're like, yeah, we'll do that. It was myself, Mickey D, Sam Simmons, Mark Watson, Fiona O'Loughlin.
Yeah, good lineup.
It was a great lineup. Mickey D was host. We were on the back of a flatbed truck thing in a multi-purpose court basketball sort of thing at a school.
Yeah.
So
gyms are hard.
But it was but mesh fences. So you went inside. There was a roof, but mesh fences. You're outside.
Yeah, which you see in Darwin in those areas.
Yeah. That kind of thing. And when we rocked into town, it was a fucking ghost town. Like, there wasn't, you couldn't see a soul walking around. It was 2 weeks after this. Oh, Cyclone Larry. That's who it was.
Cyclone Larry.
Yeah. And so, sorry, Trevor. Anyway.
Trev, you're out, mate.
So we go on, Mickey D goes on, and the crowd, they're all there, and it's all ages as well.
Yeah,
and
how many
it's
people?
3 o'clock, a few hundred. We were going, where are these people going to come from? We couldn't even find the venue. We finally find the venue, and there's this trailer, and there's no one there. And then literally people were walking out of the decimated banana fields.
Yeah, right.
Like the Children of the Corn.
Yeah.
Wow. Fucking hell. And they were all really broken and tired and exhausted people. There's roofs ripped off everything. They all sit down. Some have brought their own chairs. There weren't enough chairs for everyone. There's kids sitting on the ground. And we're all like, what are we going to use for material? Anyway. Mickey goes on and he's done a fine job and they're laughing. I go on and I did a perfectly average job, but it was fine. And then Mark Watson, at that stage, was pretending to be a Welshman.
Yeah, right.
Now, and the true story of an Englishman. He got on stage and he had a joke about the Commonwealth Games. And he goes to the audience, there's 400 or 500 people. Did you see the Commonwealth Games? And there was a silence. There were a tough crowd, and there was silence. And he was like, come on, did you see the Commonwealth Games? The silence again. It was like, honestly, out of all of you, not one of you saw the Commonwealth Games. And this woman just pipes up and goes, we were in a blackout.
That's harsh.
Because the Commonwealth Games were on at exactly the same time the cyclone wiped out their whole town. Oh. Yeah, rough gig.
Yeah, tough gig. Yeah, disaster gigs. Disaster relief. Oh, yeah. I just don't mention whatever the cause. Or you mention at the end. Looking here for a great cause.
Yeah.
It's really great. And one of the hardest ones I ever did was for the Royal Children's Hospital, and they said, Peter Hitchin was hosting. And they said, oh, I've gone too far, haven't I? I've got to do a U-turn somewhere.
Yeah, it's all right. Go straight.
Yeah.
And then we'll do a U-turn and I'll direct you back.
And he goes, you're on after, there's a lot of people there. Yeah, I'll bring you on after Elisa Camplin talks about her child. And I said, what's the story with her child? Now, she's since had quite a few kids. He goes, I don't know. She's got a child. She's going to talk about her child at the Royal Children's Hospital. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I go, the sound guy goes, I think the child died. I'm like, oh no. So I Google her, and yeah, she had a terrible experience.
Dear Lord.
The child lived for a few weeks and then passed away. And so she goes on, she's crying. Her husband gets up, he's crying. They have a slideshow. And then Peter Hitchner goes, okay, he's crying. I'm crying. Because it's such an emotional story. He goes, okay, I'm gonna bring you straight on.
Oh, mate.
I just said to him, no, I'm not going on, mate. I'm not going. Look, they can have dinner. We're having a break. But even then, after dinner, I felt like an asshole because all my stand-up's talking about my kids.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
what do you got?
Yeah, and she's I've seen her since. I told her that story because she's since had kids, but it's they're alive. But oh my god, that's the worst.
Well, thing. I did a gig in Sydney at the Paddington RSL, has a lovely functional right up the top for the Mayumari Foundation, which I recommend anyone doing some research on. And it's a non-for-profit organisation that provides respite care to survivors of child abuse.
Oh my God, yeah.
Specifically to adults
who
have gone through child abuse. It's a pretty full-on thing. I didn't really realise while I was there. Wayne Deacon had got me the gig.
Deeks.
Years ago. And so I've turned up to sort of semi-host the event, but also be the comic.
Yeah, the funny guy.
And so I went on at the start, didn't do anything at the start, just welcomed everyone and welcomed on stage the head of this foundation
who
started it. And she went on stage and told her story.
Yeah.
Which was...
Oh, no.
Absolutely captivating.
Yeah.
And horrific.
Yeah.
She was an older woman and talked about her story. And at the end of that story, I was like, that is fucked. Imagine having to follow that.
Yeah.
I'm like... Oh shit!
You've got to go on.
I've got to follow that, and not even with an intro. Like nobody to even say my name. Yeah. And so I walked back on the stage, and I looked at the audience. I went, "Hey, I've been in this long enough to know that what you guys need right now is a drink and not me talking.
Yeah, so let's
all have a break." Oh, it was the best decision.
Good decision, I reckon.
Yeah.
You know, going back, my favorite commercial radio story to change the mood. He's Tony Moclair, who's now on overnights on AW.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's doing overnights. Yeah. Anyway, he came into he must be working at Triple. He was working at Triple M, and the PD, the guy in charge, the guy that speaks alert, was dressed in army fatigues. Well, he said he had a beret and he was holding a clipboard, and his assistant also was dressed in army fatigues. And Tony's like, "Well, what's going on?" And the guy goes, "Mate, we've declared war on Gold FM." Declared war on Gold FM. We're going to go over the top for that Gold
FM. Mate, I reckon this is the line I said to somebody at the station I was working for last year. But the only thing that commercial radio like more than talking shit is stealing other people's shit.
Oh, man. This
fuck,
is,
they love it.
This just happened to Nova. So our boss would come going, "Guys, today we're going to launch. It'd be great if you could help us. The top 100 drinking songs. And we're going to do it all over the weekend." And Kate's like, "Was Triple M done anything like this?" And you go, "Yeah, they were going to do it today, but I found out. So we're getting in first.
We're doing it now."
We're doing it
now. I know. I'm like, but they're doing it. Why are we doing it?
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody will get like they'll be the official sponsor of a big name act coming out.
Yeah.
Whoever it is, doesn't matter. Foo Fighters, right? There'll be one radio station online with Foo Fighters. The radio station that didn't get that, they'll buy a whole lot of tickets to the Foo Fighters and give those tickets away on air.
Yeah, just so they can say Foo Fighters. Yeah, Foo Fighters. You know, when we started on Nova, they sent us to New Orleans to a radio conference.
Amazing.
So me, Husey, Kate, our producer Sash, American Rosso were there, and a few New Zealand DJs. Yeah, and then just at least 100 American DJs and producers, and they were all assholes. They were like, it was very rare to find someone that you could talk to. And so they did stuff like, the guy goes, "Okay, what we're going to do, we're each going to tell our best idea, our best segment idea, and everyone's going to write it down, then you go home with 100 new ideas." And so I said, we just made stuff up. I said, "Oh, we do this really good one called Squeeze Your Pussy, where people ring up with their cats and they squeeze them."
But I love that you have now created a thing in America where there's probably the longest radio game of all time is Squeeze Your Pussy.
But these guys, one of them had a great idea. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, radio called Crucifact or Crucifixion. Which at Easter time you do a trivia competition on the Bible. Crucifact or Crucifixion.
I'd do all right with that.
But these guys, some of their ideas, so they had this thing for gun producers of commercial radio, and they had this guy who's really well respected, and he thinks what he goes, "Yeah, so one day we had Buzz, you know, the astronaut,
Buzz Aldrin
coming in. But the opposition had him as well. So you know what I did? I just pretended to be the opposition, rang up and said, 'We don't want Buzz anymore, so we just got Buzz.'" And everyone claps. You're like, "You're fucking assholes."
You just ruined a producer's hard work.
Assholes. Yeah. Anyway, we went to about one or two sessions, and I said to Husey, "We're in New Orleans. Fuck this. I'm not going to any more of this bullshit." And so we just would get the get the train everywhere, the tram and stuff, and party on.
Well, no drinking for Hughie in those days, though.
No, he wasn't drinking. I'm not really a drinker, but we would go have a milkshake.
Yeah, are you not a drinker?
No, I'm not. I have a beer occasionally, but
yeah.
Too, Lawrence Mooney was asking about this on the podcast, but yeah, no, there's four boys in my family. Two were drinkers and two were not. I'm not one of the ones that's not.
Yeah, right. But, is your twin a drinker?
No, he's like the doctor. He's not a, as my mother would say, he's not a proper doctor. He's a doctor in communications or something.
Oh, come on. So you just got a PhD.
Yeah, exactly.
Just calm down. We just call it a PhD.
I just call him a doctor on stage that talks him up.
Yeah. Well, it sounds good in that context.
Yeah.
Oh. The audience tonight liked it.
Oh, no, they're on board. Because your brother's...
My older brother is a carpenter.
That's right.
Then became a builder. So there's two different things, but he's a carpenter and a builder. He then went and did his degree in social science.
Oh, my God.
And became a social worker. Then he became a gallery curator.
Oh, my God.
At the same time as sort of emerging with his sculptural work.
He'd be good at hanging paintings, wouldn't
he? He's very good at hanging paintings. And then he became a farmer, which was his first true love, and that is what he does now. He runs a farm called Echo Valley, which is a ethical, pasture-raised, free-range animals.
Because wasn't your dad a priest or a vicar or something?
My dad was a reverend, yes, correct. And he's now the gallery curator. Where my older brother and I and him own the place together. It's a
cheap... How long was he a reverend for?
22 years.
So your poor mum was like... That's like my mother-in-law. She was... Her husband, Lizzie, who's passed away, was a vicar, and she was the vicar's wife, which is a full-time job.
It is a full-time job.
Yeah, just making scones for...
And not a lot of consideration for the preacher's wife left
here. Yeah, and you're like a social worker being the vicar's wife.
Yeah, totally. So he moved on to that. My little brother is a carpenter and now a builder.
They're all very handy.
Yeah, and my older sister is a trained teacher and a linguist.
God.
And now works in government. I know she was working for Arts Queensland, but that's not what she's doing now. But she's in HR.
Yeah, right. Wow. Four kids?
Four kids in our family, and all of the four kids have two each.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hey, grandkids. I can do math. Oh, yes. All right, you're listening.
Great at math.
You're listening to The Debrief with Harley Breen. Harley, I ask everyone these questions. What went well tonight and why?
I think eventually, myself and Cody, and then to a greater extent you, we all achieved a connection with the audience.
Yes.
And that's because we have been around the block a few times, because we were up against it with a few issues.
Yeah, so what didn't go well and why?
Well, what didn't go well was it's a daylight savings gig in February, and there were skylights, and the lighting was fucked, and the crowd were particularly older, but that doesn't need to be a bad thing. But they were also very sober. It was a Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. There was a lot of things stacked against us.
Yeah, my next question is, what organisational hazards got in the way? And you have to say the lighting.
The lighting was atrocious.
There are two lights shining up from the floor, so it looked very Frankenstein.
Yeah, there was no way to be in the light.
It was just weird. Oh, yeah, straight ahead. Yes, you live near Hughie.
Yes, I do.
He's been on this podcast. Sorry. And how can we do better next time?
Well, look...
The lighting.
You do the lighting.
Yeah.
I think that because the room itself was great.
It was a good room, and there was a lot of people there.
Yep. I genuinely think the only thing to change is the lights.
The lights, exactly. Yeah. The lights, Neville.
Put the thing in the focus that should be in the focus.
Yeah, because you're just here.
Yeah.
I've walked past your house before.
That's creepy.
Because. Yeah, we walked up, because Hughie's just down the road, because I walked to a cafe with him, because we were looking at this garage door. Why, that's such a big door. Is that a really big door?
Yeah, that is a really big
door. Yeah, and there's no sliding door. There's no driveway. Yeah.
And you know why there's no driveway?
Why?
Because this whole street has a heritage overlay on it. You can't actually change. So that fence is that height because they're not allowed to go higher than that.
Yes.
And you cannot change that driveway because that's bluestone. They can't cut into it.
But they've got a driveway that's obviously an old driveway.
That's the laneway. That's Pumpkin Lane. That goes around the back of my house.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a good place to live. Just right outside the park. Where I live. Oh, look. Don't worry. No, look.
Hughie's around the corner. He's got more shit to steal than me.
Exactly. Now, you're doing all the festivals, aren't you? You're doing a few of the festivals to promote yourself.
I am starting off in Adelaide. I do Adelaide Fringe, Brisbane Comedy Festival, Melbourne Comedy Festival, Sydney Comedy Festival, and then Perth Comedy Festival.
That's a lot, isn't it?
And then I'm done, yeah.
But that takes you up to bloody May, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Yeah.
How's the show coming along?
Look, after tonight, there's some things in question.
Yeah, but tonight,
tonight I shouldn't judge it all. No. I think it's fine. Look, it's another hour of me talking about the things that happened to me in the last year or two, and that is my kids, my new baby, my own health, and my drug use.
Yeah, so that you get a little bit of everything in there. Now we can play a song. I drop a song, man. At the end, I drop it in. There's two dudes sitting in the car. Look at these guys.
There's always people sitting in the cars out here. It's a dodgy area. It's a good place to have kids.